Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, August 3rd, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Nancy Pelosi vows the U.S. will not abandon Taiwan. We'll have the latest from the House Speaker's controversial trip.
We also have key results from five state primaries.
Plus, Fed officials double down on plans to tighten policy.
And shares of chipmaker AMD slump on a lackluster forecast.
The Senate has passed the Burn Pit bill after an outcry from veterans. Plus, the January 6th missing text case widens. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. More trades for the Mets and Yankees. They both lost their games. And Dodgers broadcasting legend Vin Scully has passed away.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up about 8 points, Dow futures up 84, NASDAQ futures are little changed, and the 10-year Treasury little changed, yield 2.74%, the yield on the 2-year 3.06%, the euro 1.0188 against the dollar, and Bitcoin is up 1.2% at $23,300. Nathan.
Well, Karen, investors will be keeping an eye on what's happening in Taiwan. Nancy Pelosi's visit is making major waves. The House Speaker is pledging continued U.S. support for the island despite new threats from China.
Now more than ever, America's solidarity with Taiwan is crucial, and that is the message we are bringing here today.
Speaking at a meeting with Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen, Speaker Pelosi talked about the recently passed bill to boost American-made semiconductors.
The CHIPS bill, all of these members were instrumental in passing that important legislation, which we think offers greater opportunity for U.S.-Taiwan economic cooperation.
Speaker Pelosi is the highest-ranking elected U.S. official to visit Taiwan in a quarter century. China is responding with new military drills surrounding the island and fresh trade curbs on fish, fruit, and sand for construction.
Well, Nathan, the timing of House Speaker Pelosi's trip is being questioned by some, including Douglas Lute, a former U.S. ambassador to NATO.
I'm not sure exactly what benefit we're getting from the trip. And it comes at a sensitive time. Just as the three senior executive branch officials have regained contact with their Chinese counterparts and begun to discuss the ramifications of the war in Ukraine. So it sort of sets us back, I think, from some momentum that's been established in the last several weeks.
And former U.S. Ambassador to NATO Douglas Lute spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Another major political story we're following this morning, Karen, involves some key primary races across the country. And we get the results from Amy Morris in our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
We begin in Michigan, where Trump-backed Republican commentator Tudor Dixon faces Democrat incumbent Gretchen Whitmer in the race for governor in November. Dixon won the nomination with 40% of the vote. Three House Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump, Michigan's Peter Meyer, and Washington's Jamie Herrera Butler and Dan Newhouse, all lost their primaries to Trump-endorsed candidates. In Missouri, Republican Eric Schmidt won the nomination with nearly 46% of the vote, derailing former Governor Eric Greitens' political comeback. In Arizona, Blake Masters won the GOP primary with 37% of the vote, and he'll face incumbent Senator Mark Kelly in November. In Kansas, 59% of voters rejected a proposal to outlaw abortion. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. A little more on that abortion vote out of Kansas. 59% of voters chose to maintain abortion rights in the state. Turnout in Kansas far exceeded other contests in recent years, totaling nearly twice as many ballots as in 2018's primary election.
Let's turn back to markets now, Karen. And they are stabilizing this morning after yesterday's declines, fueled by anxiety over U.S.-China relations and hawkish comments from the Fed. In fact, four Fed officials pushed back at the idea that the central bank may pivot away from tightening. They say there is no sign inflation is easing. Here's Cleveland's Loretta Mester.
You don't talk about recession per se. It's are we growing below or above trend? And, you know, my forecast for this year is that we'll be growing below trend, but that's necessary in order to get price increases, inflation under control.
Cleveland's Loretta Mester helped trigger a surge in Treasury yields yesterday. St. Louis Fed President James Bullard says the Fed is up to the task of tackling inflation.
So modern central banks, I will try to convince you, have more credibility than their counterparts in the 1970s. And because of this, it seems like the Fed and the ECB may be able to disinflate in an orderly manner and get a relatively soft landing.
St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard reiterated the central bank should probably increase its benchmark rate to as high as 4% by the end of the year.
Nathan, several stocks on the move this morning. Shares of Advanced Micro Devices down 5.5%. That's after the chipmaker gave a lukewarm sales forecast. The story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It indicates that market share gains against Intel will not make up for a decline in PC demand. AMD said revenue in the period will be about $6.7 billion. That compares with an average analyst estimate of $6.81 billion. Under CEO Lisa Su, AMD had been taking market share from Intel and benefiting from demand for its new powerful server chips. But the outlook shows that the company is not insulated from the slowing PC industry, which is still the biggest market for its products. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. Let's take a look at some other stocks in the spotlight this morning live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. Hey, John.
And Airbnb shares slumping in the pre-market, down over 7%, Nathan. The company missing estimates on bookings. Shares of Match plunging this morning. The parent company of dating apps like Tinder giving a forecast for revenue of the current quarter that falls short of estimates. Growth being slowed by the fallout from COVID-19. PayPal shares, they're up 10% pre-market after saying activist investor Elliott Investment Management, now one of the largest shareholders, and that cost-cutting will save $900 million this year. And Robinhood market shares little changed. They announced they're eliminating almost a quarter of their workforce. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Oil also in focus this morning. Traders waiting to see whether OPEC will heed a U.S. call to increase oil supplies. The OPEC Plus coalition meeting virtually today, and a Bloomberg survey suggests the alliance is more likely to keep output steady in September. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 74 degrees in Central Park. Pretty decent start on the roads. We'll fill you in on that in traffic shortly. First, Michael Barr is here with what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The Senate passed the PACT Act, aimed at helping veterans who have been exposed to toxic burn pits. The bill passed in an 86-11 vote, overcoming Republican claims it contains loopholes that would allow indiscriminate spending. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer spoke after the bill passed.
Finally, at long last, America lived up to its ideals by saying to our veterans who have been exposed to toxic chemicals from burn pits, we have your back.
Senator Schumer says the bill will help thousands of sick U.S. veterans. New York Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney said she didn't believe that President Joe Biden would run for re-election in 2024. Maloney is the latest Democratic official to question whether their party's leader will seek a second term. The comments came during a New York One debate last evening among candidates vying for the Democratic primary nomination in New York's 12th congressional district. Because of redistricting, Maloney is running against fellow New York House heavyweight Gerald Nadler and lawyer Suraj Patel. The Defense Department electronically wiped the phones of some former top officials who served under then-President Donald Trump. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
And the Department of Defense is confirming that a DOJ investigation of the missing January 6 texts has now confirmed that along with accidentally deleting some texts, some phones were purposefully wiped after January 6th. Government lawyers made that admission in court filings tied to the Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, and the oversight group is urging Attorney General Merrick Garland to investigate DOD's actions in allowing the destruction of records potentially relevant to a significant matter of national attention and historical importance. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The State Department warned American citizens traveling overseas of possible retaliation by Al-Qaeda and its supporters after the organization's leader was killed in a U.S. drone strike. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshower.
Good morning, Nathan. Vince Scully has passed away. The New York native began calling Brooklyn Dodgers games shortly after he graduated from Fordham, and he kept the job for 67 years. The owner of that soothing voice with an unparalleled ability to tell stories while calling the game. Vince Scully was a true broadcasting legend. He was 94. Mets and Yankees both lost. Mets in Washington 5-1 to end their seven-game winning streak. But Mets fans happy to see Jacob DeGrom on the mound. Five solid innings. He allowed just one run in his season debut. Yankees battled back from deficits a couple of times, but in the end lost to Seattle at the stadium 8-6. Yankees made a couple more trades before the deadline. They found a Joey Gallo taker in the Dodgers. Gallo was a complete bust in his time in pinstripes, batting just 159. The Dodgers gave the Yanks a top pitching prospect, Clayton Beter, in return. Yankees then made a more surprising move because Jordan Montgomery's been a solid starting pitcher for them, but they did just acquire another starter in Frankie Montas, so they shipped Montgomery to St. Louis for an outfielder. Here's Yankees GM Brian Cashman.
Harrison Bader is, you know, one of the elite center field defenders in the game, and so he provides a lot of lanes for us, I think, for our manager when he's healthy.
Yeah, Bader currently has a foot injury. He's a New York native, went to high school at Horace Mann in the Bronx. Mets acquired two players yesterday, outfielder Darren Ruff. They sent J.D. Davis to the Giants for him. Mets also picked up reliever Michael Givens from the Cubs. Of course, the big trade yesterday was Juan Soto going from Washington to San Diego. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
Okay, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 11 points. Dow futures up 109. NASDAQ futures are higher by 23 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 3/32. The yield, 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.06%. And NYMEX crude down 1.2% or $1.15, $93.26 a barrel ahead of the OPEC Plus meeting. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by PPAC Private Wealth Management. PPAC Private Wealth Management knows that a portfolio is more than a collection of assets. It's a path to your future. Visit PPACPrivate.com and begin your financial legacy today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are steadying as some of investor anxiety over tense U.S.-China ties eases, while Treasury yields are fluctuating a bit after a slide sparked by hawkish Federal Reserve comments. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 19 points, Dow futures up 142, NASDAQ futures up 62, the DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.74%, the yield on the 2-year, 3.06%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.1% on 97 cents at $93.46 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $7.50 at $17.82.10 an ounce. The euro 1.0190 against the dollar. British pound 1.2187. The yen at 133.14. And Bitcoin up 1.5% at $23,360. Today we're watching for reports on durable goods orders and factory orders out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. CVS and Moderna are among the companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Kansas voters refused to change the state constitution to declare there is no right to an abortion. On a 59-41% vote, the state Supreme Court decision in 2019 that granted state constitutional abortion rights remains intact. Hall of Fame broadcaster Vin Scully has died. Scully, with those beautiful dulcet tones, broadcast baseball games for the Dodgers for 67 years. Vin Scully was 94. As for the games, the Yankees lost to the Mariners 8-6. The Mets lost to the Nationals 5-1. The Orioles and Red Sox won. The A's and Giants lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg and Daybreak as we continue to follow House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's trip through Asia, getting ready to leave Taiwan now. A controversial visit given the tensions between the U.S. and China at the moment. Enda Curran is with us this morning, Chief Asia Economics Correspondent for Bloomberg News, joining us live from Hong Kong. Enda, good morning. We've heard all the threats from China. We've seen the military drills that are about to begin in the next day or so. What is the lasting impact, or is there a lasting impact from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan?
Well, the impact will start to become clear over coming days, and perhaps once she leaves, like you mentioned. There have already been some hints or some signs of a trade embargo on some Taiwanese goods. So, for example, fruits that China imports from Taiwan are now banned. China, of course, isn't explicitly saying it's linked to Speaker Pelosi's visit, but that's obviously the intention of it. There are other restrictions on two-way trade coming into place. For example, China will not export fine salmon to Taiwan. So there's some measures happening on the economic and on the trade side of things. Now, of course, we're going to move forward to the next 3 days of military drills and exercises that will really ring the island of Taiwan and go beyond what happened back in the last Straits crisis, which is back in 95-96. So we're going to have to monitor how that happened. There's already been disruption to supply chains. Of course, Taiwan Strait is so crucial, an artery for global trade. There's already our colleagues reporting from shipping companies and the like are having to make diversions. China put out a warning to airlines today that they're going to have to avoid danger zones around Taiwan. They've given notification of where they should not fly, and airlines are adjusting accordingly. For example, Cathay Pacific, the Hong Kong airline here, has had to stock up on fuel to make its trips. So these are near-term tangible responses that are happening here and now. Of course, as for what it does for the broader spectrum of U.S. and China relations will take longer to become clear, but you have to assume at the very least it's not exactly going to be positive for those relations either.
Yeah, there was some expectation, some groundwork laid for President Xi to speak with President Biden from the U.S. in the next upcoming weeks, if not months. How does this visit by Pelosi potentially complicate that?
Well, it raises all manner of questions. Can these two governments, on the one hand, reach the brink of a crisis that we apparently are witnessing today, and yet, on the other hand, go ahead with a sort of a parallel stream of talks where the two leaders do plan to meet at some point over coming months? I mean, it would have to assume it is a negative for those prospects. Nonetheless, we'll have to see what kind of language comes out of Beijing and Washington over coming days once this trip wraps up. We've already had the Foreign Minister Wang Yi talking today about how the trip was a complete farce. We know that China has been using very hawkish language. Indeed, so much so, in fact, that some of its own netizens are said to be disappointed by the steps that China has taken. So they will be under pressure to continue with their hawkish approach in this. But we'll have to see whether or not it can be defeated to a point where two leaders believe that they have the faith that they can meet again without, of course, either side being seen as having lost out in this dispute.
And, of course, this is coming just a few months before Chinese President Xi Jinping stands for a third term at the Party Congress later this year. How does his response to what's happening in Taiwan feed into that?
Yeah, so this is where politics really does come into it, because there was a view among many analysts about this trip that regardless, President Xi would have to be seen to respond strongly. He would have to be seen to send hawkish signals to the U.S. over this. But, you know, despite all the language in the run-up to the visit, Speaker Pelosi went ahead with it. And there is this now kind of sub-thread coming out of China that we've reported on, that people, users of social media and the like, are disappointed that the China response hasn't been robust enough. And there are some prominent, like Xu Zijin, the former editor of Global Times, state-backed newspaper, he's expressing a degree of disappointment in terms of what has happened. But, of course, we haven't yet seen the full response. And like I said earlier, we're now moving into the military end of this response. And over the next 3 days, China has flagged they are going to ring that island and they're going to let off their live rounds and conduct their exercises on a scale much bigger than what happened during that 1990s crisis. So, as I say to you, there's a kind of a subside coming out of China that the response so far has been somewhat muted, but you could argue we have yet to see the full response, and we will do over coming days.
Yeah, potentially heading into an even more tense weekend. Thanks for this. And, of course, we'll continue following developments. Enda Curran with us this morning, Chief Asia Economics Correspondent for Bloomberg News, with us from Hong Kong. Right now, S&P futures are up 18 points. Dow futures up 142. NASDAQ futures higher by 59 points. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. The yield 2.74%. NYMEX crude down almost 1%, $93.52 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Lots of sunshine today. A high near 90 degrees. A heat advisory kicks in tomorrow. Lasts till Friday. Highs both days near 95. Right now, 74 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin overseas with investors keeping an eye on what's happening in Taiwan. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is pledging a continued U.S. commitment to the island despite new threats from China.
America's determination to preserve democracy here in Taiwan and around the world remains ironclad.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was speaking at a meeting with Taiwan's president. China is responding to Pelosi's visit with new military drills and fresh trade curbs.
Well, we're also following key primary races across the country, Karen. Tudor Dixon, backed by Donald Trump, won 40% of the vote for the Republican nomination in Michigan's governor's race. He will face Democratic incumbent Gretchen Whitmer in the fall. Three House Republicans who voted to impeach the former president lost primaries to Trump-endorsed candidates in Michigan and Washington State. Republican Eric Schmidt secured nearly 46% of the vote for Missouri's open Senate seat, derailing former Governor Eric Greitens. And in Arizona, Blake Masters will face incumbent Senator Mark Kelly after winning the GOP primary with 37% of the vote.
Well, turning to markets now, Nathan, they're stabilizing after yesterday's declines, fueled by geopolitical tensions and hawkish comments from the Fed. Four officials pushed back against the narrative that the Fed may pivot away from tightening. Cleveland President Loretta Mester says officials are not necessarily talking about a recession, but an outlook for growth.
My forecast for this year is that we'll be growing below trend, but that's necessary in order to get price increases, inflation under control.
The comments from Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester helped trigger a surge in Treasury yields yesterday.
In corporate news this morning, shares of Advanced Micro Devices are down about 5% after the company gave a lukewarm sales forecast. Other stocks are in the spotlight this morning as well, and Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with some of those. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, among the most active, Airbnb issuing a weaker-than-expected outlook, overshadowing otherwise strong results, shares down over 7%. COVID putting a damper on dating still. Dating app parent Match projecting weak revenue for the third quarter. PayPal Holdings confirming that Elliott Management took a stake in the company and also announced a cost-cutting plan. And shares of Robinhood Markets little change. The app-based brokerage dismissed 780 people. That's about 23% of their staff. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. And futures are higher. S&P futures up about 18 points. Dow futures up 134. NASDAQ futures up 59. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 73 degrees in Central Park. Starting to see volume build on the westbound LIE. We'll get to the details in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Kansas voters have sent a resounding message about their desire to protect abortion rights by rejecting a measure that would have allowed the Republican-controlled legislature to tighten abortion restrictions or ban the procedure outright. The vote in the red state was the first test of voters' feelings about abortion since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Meanwhile, President Biden today will sign a second executive order intended to improve access to abortion services. The order will direct the Secretary of Health and Human Services to consider actions to help patients travel outside their states
for abortions using funds from Medicaid. The Senate last night passed the PACT Act, aimed at helping veterans who have been exposed to toxic burn pits. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer credited veterans who protested for days outside the Capitol for helping to get the bill passed.
They were there as a beacon to all of America. They said, we're not going to let you forget us. We're not going to let you walk all over us.
Comedian Jon Stewart also campaigned for the toxic burn pits bill. Senator Schumer says it passed in an 86-11 vote. A high-ranking New York Democratic congresswoman speculates on whether President Biden will run for office again. President Biden was a major topic in a debate leading up to the Democratic primary for New York's 12th district. When asked if Biden should run again, Representative Carolyn Maloney told New York's One moderators,
I don't believe he's running for re-election.
Districting maps pitting Maloney against other Democratic veterans against Representative Jerry Nadler.
Too early to say. It doesn't serve the purpose of the Democratic Party to deal with that until after the midterms.
Maloney and Nadler face off August 23rd. The Defense Department electronically wiped the phones of some former top officials who served under then-President Donald Trump, including deleting text messages related to last year's attack on the U.S. Capitol. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. And at 5:35 on Wall Street, we get the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, Vin Scully, the legendary Dodgers announcer, has passed away. Imagine having the same job for 67 years. And imagine witnessing so much baseball history, from Brooklyn winning the 1955 World Series to the ball going through Bill Buckner's legs at Shea Stadium. Here was Scully on a night in Atlanta in 1974.
What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron.
And Scully was 94. Jacob DeGrom on the mound for the Mets. First time in more than a year in Washington. Pitched five innings, allowed just one run, three hits, struck out six. Nothing's changed. The Mets struggled to score for him. Just a Francisco Lindor home run. Steven Nogasek replaced DeGrom, gave up back-to-back homers. Washington ended the Mets' seven-game winning streak 5-1. On the day the Nationals traded their 23-year-old star Juan Soto to San Diego, the Mets traded J.D. Davis to the Giants for outfielder Darren Ruff. The Yankees traded Jordan Montgomery to St. Louis for outfielder Harrison Bader, a New York native who is currently out with a foot injury. The Yanks also sent the unproductive Joey Gallo to the Dodgers. At the stadium, Yankees fell behind 4-0, later 6-3. They tied the game, but a pinch-hit home run by Seattle's Sam Haggerty's seventh inning. The Mariners won 8-6. In defeat, Yanks got home runs from Jose Trevino, Anthony Rizzo, and Josh Donaldson. The NFL took away the Miami Dolphins' first-round draft pick next year for tampering with trying to hire Sean Payton and acquire Tom Brady. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Attorney General Letitia James has issued an investor alert for New Yorkers affected by the cryptocurrency crash. As part of its ongoing investigative work, the OAG is interested in hearing from New York investors who are unable to access their investments or who've been deceived about cryptocurrency. The Port of New York and New Jersey has announced new tariffs on Tuesday related to empty containers and export volume in its battle to decrease container congestion. Both loaded and empty containers that are considered long-dwelling will be subjected to a quarterly container imbalance fee. Three Long Island hospitals are among the top-performing medical centers. The U.S. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services gave its highest rating to Northwell Health's Huntington Hospital, Catholic Health's St. Francis Hospital and Heart Center in Roslyn, and NYU Langone Health's hospitals. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thank you. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about the National Retail Federation. That
that there won't be a recession this year.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Shell is handing out bonuses to employees as earnings surge to record highs.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Grubhub's parent has had to record an impairment charge on its U.S. food delivery business, saying orders slowed in the year's first half.
I'm Stephen Carroll on DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been speaking to Lord Peter Hain about the UK government banning Bain & Company from bidding for public contracts.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting GE Lighting will close two Ohio light bulb plants.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Like Osama bin Laden, his predecessor as leader of al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri had the blood of thousands on his hands. In addition to helping plot the September 11th terrorist attacks, Zawahiri played a role in the 2005 London transit bombings and the bombings of two U.S. embassies in 1998. His demise, announced by the White House on Monday, was a feat of patient, effective intelligence work. U.S. spies tracked the long-sought terrorist to Afghanistan earlier this year, then spent months observing him. The information they gathered allowed an American drone to target him this past weekend, killing him on the balcony of his house. Few terrorists of Zawahiri's generation were responsible for more bloodshed. For now, it's enough to say that justice has been served. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N go. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunny near 90 today. Heat advisory in effect tomorrow into Friday. Both days near 95, hot, humid for the rest of the week. Right now, 74 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are steadying as some of the investor anxiety over tense U.S.-China ties eases, while Treasury yields are fluctuating after a slide sparked by hawkish Federal Reserve comments. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up 16 points, Dow futures up 125, NASDAQ futures up 51. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.75%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.06%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% on 93 cents at $93.48 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $8.10 at $17.81.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0185 against the dollar, British pound 1.2168, and the yen 133.16. And Bitcoin this morning up 1.4% at $23,350. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A major victory for abortion rights advocates. Voters in Kansas overwhelmingly rejected an amendment that would have eliminated the constitutional right to an abortion and placed the issue in the hands of state lawmakers. President Joe Biden today will sign a second executive order intended to improve access to abortion services more than 5 weeks after the U.S. Supreme Court allowed states to largely put them off limits. A sad day in baseball. A Hall of Fame broadcaster, Vin Scully, has died. Scully broadcast games for the Dodgers for 67 years. Vin Scully was 94. As for the games, the Yankees lost to the Mariners 8-6. The Mets lost to the Nationals 5-1. The Orioles and Red Sox won. The A's and Giants lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, on a morning where geopolitics and electoral politics are front and center. It's very appropriate that we have Wendy Schiller with us this morning, director of the Taubman Center for American Politics and Policy at Brown University. Wendy, it's always great to speak with you, particularly now when investors are trying to wrap their heads around what House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan means for U.S.-China relations. How do you see it now that this trip is pretty close to wrapping up?
Good morning, Nathan. I think Pelosi was trying to do two things at once. One was to showcase the power of the Congress per se and her role as Speaker, and particularly in the area of trade. As we know, you know, the House has to originate all tax and revenue bills, tax and spending bills. And, you know, if we're going to do anything big on trade or things are going to have to go to Congress dealing with China on trade, then the House is a very important pit stop for that legislation. And I think she was reminding not only China but the world that that is the fact. And so that Congress has to be recognized. Second is a break with Biden, really just showing that the Democratic Party has independence from the Biden administration. I mean, she did this on purpose, and she's a very strategic political leader. She has been her whole career. And this was to say, look, even if you don't like Biden, there are things that a Democratic Congress could try to do that would be in contrast to the Biden administration. And that's one of the reasons why you want to still keep us in office.
Well, why would Speaker Pelosi want to exhibit this kind of break with President Biden? What's the upside?
Well, the upside is that when you are, you know, the generic poll is not that bad for the Democrats right now. I mean, the Republicans are a little bit ahead, depending on whose poll you look at. But the Democrats need something. You know, gas prices are slowly dropping, or the price of oil, you know, per barrel right now is dropping. We don't know how that will be in November. But right now, most of the primaries are over, and now the general election essentially begins as soon as Congress goes home. And so that is something where you have to grab onto anything you can do. And one of those things you can do is to say, we know how to run the country. We're not just good domestically. And if you don't like what we do domestically, we will pressure the Biden administration to be stronger against China internationally. And so for those members that might be asked about this in particular districts, they can point to this visit as a sign that the congressional Democrats will stand up to Biden when they need to.
Well, let's turn to the primaries that we've just gone through in five states last night. It looks as though it was, for the most part, a pretty good night if you were a Republican candidate backed by former President Trump.
Yeah, it was an excellent night for Donald Trump, particularly in Michigan and Arizona. And I think it's got to be extremely worrisome for the Democrats in the Senate race in Arizona. Mark Kelly is running for reelection. And, you know, you not only had most of the Trump people win, but you had the turnout was higher. Now, some of those reasons is that the primary was more contested. But Republican enthusiasm in Arizona seems to be very high. And you're putting in office multiple people who are running for office, not in office yet, who deny the 2020 legitimacy. And there was a lot of contestation in Arizona, as we know, in terms of recounting the vote. And that's got to be of great concern to the Democrats. So I think progressives want to celebrate the victory in Kansas on abortion. But when you really look at sort of the map as it may lay out for 24, you're seeing strong warning signs, I think, in Arizona. And in Michigan, even though Gretchen Whitmer has solid approval ratings and she's doing well, the Republicans nominated somebody who could turn out to be a very attractive candidate to people in Michigan in a bad year for Democrats.
So for the most part, do you think that the Republicans who sort of share the former president's view that the 2020 election was stolen could have a pretty good chance against the Democratic candidates in the November election?
I do think that they can get elected, yes, and I think it may not be because of their stance on the 2020 election. That's the question mark for Trump. He had a good night, but is this really in the general election going to be about Trump and restoring Trump or denying the 2020 election, or is it going to be about inflation and gas prices and voters just wanting a change and not wanting to elect incumbents? And I think that's going to be how to read those tea leaves. All observers are going to have to figure that out. But I think that's the warning signs are structural in terms of accepting elections and even the results of the 2022 midterms in Arizona, for example. And in Missouri, Greitens was rejected. He was sort of an unattractive personal candidate. But Eric Schmidt's not really all that different in terms of policy. And in Kansas, for example, Kris Kobach is back. People remember him. He was on the voting certification commission that Trump established after he won. So in 2016, 2017. So, you know, Kansas is sending mixed signals, too.
Thanks, Wendy. Great having on with us this morning. Wendy Schiller, director of the Taubman Center for American Politics and Policy at Brown University. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. Now to a legal story we're watching this morning. Best-selling author Stephen King testified for the government yesterday in an antitrust trial to stop Penguin Random House's proposed $2 billion acquisition of Simon & Schuster, his own publisher. The Justice Department is suing to block the largest U.S. book publisher from buying the fourth largest, contending the merger would thwart competition, hurt authors, and ultimately readers. King testified that the five biggest publishers have largely squeezed out independent shops, making it harder for fledgling authors to make it into print. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Jennifer Ree, Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Litigation Analyst.
The government says this merger would affect the book publishing industry detrimentally. How so?
You know, it's a very interesting argument because it is a bit different than a typical antitrust argument made to try to block a merger. So what they say here is that there will be an impact on labor. In other words, authors of anticipated top-selling books. So these are the authors that come along. You expect the book to be really big, and these publishers are bidding for the rights to that book, and, you know, they bid against each other, and the price goes up, and the authors are paid more. So they're saying that that kind of head-to-head competition boosts these authors' pay, you know, and spurs the publishers to give better editorial and marketing services to get those book rights. They aren't arguing that people like me or like you that go out and buy a book are actually going to pay more for a book. That's a more traditional antitrust theory. This theory is about labor, and what it's called is a monopsony theory, too few buyers rather than too few sellers.
This is an industry that's already undergone consolidation. Penguin Random House, that name shows consolidation.
Right. You know, I think that's one of the most important points here. In particular, the Department of Justice has said, you know, they really want to broaden out the kinds of deals that they challenge and broaden out the antitrust approach to mergers. And one of the things they want to think about more are just industries that have trended toward consolidation, that as you see a trend toward consolidation, you kind of want to nip it in the bud before it gets too far and too consolidated under your nose. And you're exactly right. This is an industry that's had loads of consolidation in the last couple years. And not only that, this top five companies that the DOJ is talking about have been accused of colluding in the past. And that's another theory the DOJ will have. Hey, the fewer you have, the more likely it is that they can collude in the future.
Now, this has been described as a key test for the Biden administration's push to expand antitrust enforcement. Do you see it that way?
You know, I do, because this concept that we're going to look at the merger's impact on labor is fairly untested and new in court. To rest the entire theory of harm just on that theory and go to court with it is fairly new and untested. So we'll see how they can prove that and how the district court judge views that. And it could lay the groundwork for future challenges to mergers that are based on the impact on labor. So it is very new in that way. And I think also, with respect to what you just talked about, that it's an effort to sort of stem the tide of consolidation in an industry that's been trending in that direction.
And that's Jennifer Ree, Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Litigation Analyst, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And this headline, with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's plane leaving Taiwan, this after her historic visit where she pledged the U.S. would not abandon Taiwan. And this is Bloomberg.